Can you hear me? Okay, good. Thank you. Good evening. It's good to be with y'all. Appreciate the invitation from Brother James and from the church at Union, Primitive Baptist Church in Ruth, Mississippi. Appreciate the fine singing of the Owens family. Beautiful singing. I could listen to that all day. I could listen to it longer than you could probably sing, but it was beautiful singing, and I appreciate that. Appreciate the humble prayer from Brother Kim, and love him and Sister Deborah very much. Thankful to see them, and good to see y'all, all of y'all on here. I've got a thought on my mind this evening. That's been a great blessing to me. It starts off in the fifth chapter of Romans. And the thought that I have on my mind is justification by faith. Now, there are three different types, I guess, of justification that the Bible speaks about, and justification by the blood, justification by our works. James goes into detail in that in the second chapter of James. And then we have justification by faith, which is mentioned here and also in other places and can be seen in many places throughout God's word. It is a beautiful subject. My father in the ministry, Elder Marvin Loudermilk, used to guide me so much. I spent many hours with him, many days with him, and justification by faith was always an issue that I had in early on that I couldn't grasp, and I couldn't understand it exactly what it was. And every time I would talk with Brother Marvin, I'd say, Brother Marvin, could you please go over justification by faith one more time? And if I said that one time, I probably said it 30 times. And he never scolded me. He never said you ought to have it figured out by now or anything like that. And then there was finally a day that the Lord opened it up to me, and I thank Brother Marvin for that as well. But when you see justification by faith and you understand what it is a beautiful. Beautiful subject in God's word, as many are. He says, starting off this fifth chapter of Romans, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, that's beautiful, and I may be preaching to the choir, so to speak, and you may have all this figured out, and if you have, then we'll just all rejoice in this subject tonight. But justification by faith, he says here what justification by faith is. Now, justification is considered a legal term, and it doesn't being justified, and it's very important to understand in all aspects of justification that it doesn't make you just. Justification declares that you are just. It's a declaration. It's not a proposition of something you have to do. It's a declaration. And so we see here, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the greatest blessing in being justified by faith, is that it gives us, the sinners, peace with God. Now, God is already at peace with us. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So we see here in Colossians, what Paul says is that is that he has already made that peace, and he has reconciled us to him through the blood of the cross, he said. And that's, of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ. So he was against us at one point, and we were brought back together in union, if you will. We were brought back together in fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so we were at peace with him. And so and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to understand there. But while he is at peace with us, what a wonderful thing it also is that we can be at peace with him. And so we see many aspects of this justification. In fact, there's one place over in I want to show you this over in the fifth chapter of Second Corinthians. He says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself." And by the way, I submit that that world is the same world of John 3:16. And whoever that world is, they have been reconciled. That's the understanding. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, not laying it to their charge, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He goes on to say that we have, now he just said that we have been reconciled. God has reconciled us. And then he says in the 20th verse, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." He's already reconciled us. He's already made peace with us. But are we reconciled with him? Are we at peace with God? And that's what justification by faith brings. When he says here, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ," it notices it the chapter starts off with a therefore. Now we understand that these chapters were not placed in here at the beginning of a thought. The chapters and verses were placed in the Bible as a point of reference. And so this is a he is when he says therefore, you don't start a conversation by saying therefore. When he says therefore, he is fixing to conclude something that he has already been talking about. And so let's go up here and look and see what he's been talking about. And I just want to start in the 18th verse of the previous chapter, the fourth chapter of Romans, starting off at the 18th verse. He says, and he uses Abraham here as an example of justification by faith. And he says, "Who against hope believed in hope." Okay, now that may seem like strange language, but what we're talking about is the promises in the Genesis, in the 15th chapter of Genesis, the promises that were given him when he was around 75 years old, that him and Sarah would have a child. Okay, it wouldn't be until about 25 years later that that promise would come true. It came true in God's time. Maybe not in Abraham's time, but it certainly came true in God's time. And so he says, "Who against hope believed in hope." So here Abraham is, and he has Isaac when he's 100 years old, and Sarah's 90, and there's no hope in and of himself or Sarah that they're going to be able to have a child. But it's not going to be Ishmael, by the way. God said, I'm gonna have you're gonna have a child with Sarah." All right, and so he had no hope. He saw no way in the world that he was gonna be able to do anything whatsoever to help cause this to happen. In fact, we see in that 15th chapter of Genesis that great one-sided unilateral covenant that God entered into with Abraham, when Abraham split those animals in half and divided them. And then we see a smoking furnace and a burning lamp going down through the center of it. Abraham didn't go down through there to hold part of that covenant. God, this was a unilateral. This was a covenant with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Okay. Abraham didn't have anything to do with it, but yet he believed. And against hope, he says, who against hope believed in hope. He believed in the promises of God. Now, Abraham didn't know how it was going to happen. Abraham didn't know how it was going to take place, but he believed that it would because God said it would. So he was believing God. Now, I want you to see that justification by faith is us having hope against hope. I have no hope in myself of ever going to heaven, of ever reaching the portals of heaven in and of myself. Solomon said, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's not a just man upon earth. In Job, it says, how then can a man be justified with God? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. When I look at myself and I see the depravity of who I am, and how undeserving I am, there's no hope within myself of ever being in heaven. There's no chance. But I want to tell you what, I've got hope against hope, because my hope is not in myself. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in what He has done, not what I have done. And that, when I lay all my case against God, and see that He has justified me. That is, He has declared me righteous. Justified is just as though you had never sinned. Can you believe that in heaven, when God looks upon you, when He looks upon you through the blood of His Son, He sees you as spotless? When the Lord comes back, He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is what gives us peace with God. The world, the Christonian world, does not have peace with God. They're scared to death of the Lord's second coming. You know, the Lord's going to come back, and He's going to bring out this long scroll, and I'm going to have to give an account for everything, and all my good and all my bad are going to be laid in the balances, and we're going to have to see which one tips the scale. That's not peace. That's turmoil. I couldn't rest at night, fearing that day that would be coming with that theology. But brothers and sisters, thanks be to God, we have a different story to tell. The story is, when the Lord comes back, He's going to say, come ye blessed to my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Blessed of who? Blessed of your deeds? Blessed of your good works? No, blessed of my Father. We are blessed of the Father because Jesus Christ came and took the sin debt off of us, every last one of them. He paid them all, brethren. I don't believe in a part-time Savior. I believe in a full-time Savior that did the job completely on the cross at Calvary. And when He said it is finished, He finished the work full and complete. And brothers and sisters, we can rejoice today that we don't have to worry about that last day. I look forward to when the Lord comes back. I am not fearing the coming of the Lord. I hope I'm alive when the Lord comes back. But if I'm not and I'm in the grave, I'm still going to see Him with my eyes. And I'm going to look upon Him. And it's going to be because of the righteousness that we have received in Jesus Christ. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So we have been made righteous. And, you know, that's a hard thing for me to accept in and of myself. But I can't look at myself. I have to look at what God's done. It's what Jesus Christ has done. And when I see that, it gives me peace. I have peace. And so He says here, who against hope believed in hope that He might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was not considering the impossibilities of what God said that he would do. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded this evening in the promises of God? And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was laid on his account for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. This is important. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So we can receive that that justification by faith if we believe the report of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for what? Our justification. He was raised again for our justification. When he rose again on that third day, it declared that all that he died for on the cross at Calvary were justified, justified in the eyes of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, knowing these things, knowing that we're not deserving, but yet at the same time, my hope is not in me. My hope, and I'm not using hope as a pipe dream. I hope you understand what hope is in the Bible. Hope's not a pipe dream. Hope is an earnest expectation. I am not boasting in myself when I say I earnestly expect to be with the Lord one day. Amen. Can we all say, I earnestly expect to be with the Lord one day, and I'm not boasting in myself because I've got no hope in myself. My hope's in the Lord, and I'm boasting in Him and what He has done. This gives me peace in this life. I can lay down at night. I can lay down at night and not worry about my standing with God. Now, certainly we've got responsibilities in how we're to live and conduct ourselves in this life. And there's repercussions in our disobedience, and that's in the chastening hand of God in this life. And we will reap, Galatians says, we'll reap what we sow in this life. But that is not going to detour 1 minute what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. When we breathe our last, we'll be going home. We'll be ushered with the Lord immediately. Now, we can live a hell here in this life in our disobedience. We can, and we see that happen so many times and so many people that wreck and ruin their lives. But if they're washed by the blood, heaven's going to be their home. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what he says. He says in the second verse of that fifth chapter, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Now, what's he saying here? He says, by whom also we have access by this faith into this grace wherein we stand. You see, he's saying you have access to see You see yourself in two different places. You see yourself here in the grace, and you have access by faith to see where you are already standing. Being justified by faith gives you the access to see that you're already standing in the grace of God, and that God has done it all. First Peter chapter 5, when Apostle Peter was closing out that First Peter, he talks about Silvanus, which is Silas, and he says, "A faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand." The true grace of God wherein, brothers and sisters, tonight we can rejoice in the Lord and take comfort knowing that we're standing in grace because of what the Lord has done. And because of that, brothers and sisters, we can have peace, a peace that passeth all understanding. It's one thing. It's quite a miracle for God when a child of God is born again by the Spirit of God, that he is made to see at that time that he's nothing, yea, and less than nothing. He's made to see how what a great sinner that he is. The light is shines in his dark and depraved heart through the Spirit of God, and he's made, he no longer sees himself as somebody. He sees himself as nobody. But then it's the miracle of the gospel, the power of the gospel, and God's word that comes to that poor sinner and can say, as the Apostle Paul said, starting off in the 8th chapter of Romans, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." There's no more condemnation. What a powerful gospel we have. That it can lift one that's born again, that sees himself to be nothing. And we are nothing, brothers and sisters, without the Lord. But with God, we can do all things. And we're made to see through the gospel that he loves us with an everlasting love, that Christ died for us, and that one day we'll all go home to be with him in glory. That, if that doesn't give you peace, I don't know what else will give you peace, brothers and sisters, in this day and age. I appreciate your good time and your good attention. God bless you. Come ahead, Brother James.